get my shoes and out the door. 5, I'm alive. 6, 7, 8, feeling great.
Hello, BYWG Podcast Tribe. This is Dr. Noah. For the month of October, we have an awesome book of the month and product of the month that I'm incredibly excited to share with you all. As a reminder, all the links for the book and product of the month will be listed in the show notes in iTunes, in our weekly newsletters, and on our website at www.beyondyourwildestgenes.com at the Listen Now tab. Our book of the month is The Hidden Cause of Acne, How Toxic Water is Affecting Your Life and What You Could Do About It by Melissa Gallico. I just had the incredible opportunity to interview Melissa on the podcast, and you can find this interview at www.beyondyourwildestgenes.com. on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube. The product of the month is Energy Bits. Energy Bits are 100% organic spirulina and or chlorella algae that are paleo, keto, vegan, and non-GMO. I've been taking them, as well as my family, for nearly a month, and I personally enjoy the extra added boost in nutrition and energy they provide. Watch out for our interview as well regarding the Energy Bits. You can find out more information at energybits.com. That's ENERGYBITS.com and get 20% off forever using the code capital B, capital Y, capital W, capital G, BYWG. Enjoy the upcoming podcast. Hello and welcome back to Beyond Your Wildest Genes podcast. My name is Dr. Noah DeCoyer and I am your co-host. Today our guest is Scott Nelson from Joovv, J-O-O-V-V. I've been interested in photobiomodulation or light therapy for a long time. Other guests that have been on our podcast like Dave Astry and Rob Wolf recently had Scott on discussing this topic, so it nudged me to make my first purchase and my first Joovv purchase, and you know that basically created the impetus to have you on our show. So here we are. How are you today, Scott?
Awesome, Noah. Thanks for having me on the show. Looking forward to the discussion.
Yeah. Let me just run through your bio and then we'll get started. Scott is the impetus, power, and energy that sets Joovv in motion. His ability to metabolize information quickly makes him an irreplaceable asset to our company. And when it comes to leading all of our commercialization initiatives, he's without a question the best. The best two words to describe Scott are efficient and personable. Prior to co-founding Joovv, he spent his entire professional career in leadership positions with some of the largest medical device companies in the world, including Medtronic, Covidien, Boston Scientific, C.R. Bard. Scott is best friends with his wife and soulmate Liz and loves spending time with his four kids. Fun fact, in his spare time, Scott is also the host of the MedSider Radio, a top-ranked medical device podcast. All right, man, Scott. So, how about a little bit of your backstory? I mean, flesh it out a little bit, and then the origin story of Joovv too.
Sure. I'm gonna say first that bikes me on way better than I, but I'll take it. But to answer that question, I've spent my you know, as you just mentioned, I spent my entire career in the traditional med tech space. So before relocating Joovv to Southern California, we were based in Minneapolis. You know, otherwise known as the Silicon Valley of the medical device space. So you've got the major players there: Medtronic, Boston Scientific, St. Jude, which is now Abbott, et cetera. And so that was my previous life. And to drill down to that a little bit further, I've always been in the cardiovascular space, primarily the peripheral vascular space. So dealing with products like vascular balloons and vascular stents, atherectomy catheters, thrombectomy catheters, et cetera. That was kind of my world for the past 15 years before starting Joovv. Very traditional med tech or medical device background. But what brought to circle back to your question regarding Joovv and the origin story. When we were based in Minneapolis, my wife as well as her sister purchased a red light therapy package from a local spa in Minneapolis that was advertising the benefits of red light therapy, et cetera. And this was back in it was either late 2014 or early 2015, somewhere in that time frame. So not nearly as much probably knowledge about light therapy as there is when we're recording this podcast here and towards the end of 2018 here, mid 2018. But they actually experienced quite a few benefits from red light therapy. They went consistently. They were probably going, 4 or 5 times a week, traveling across town, you know, getting undressed, doing the full body, you know, red light therapy treatments, et cetera, saw some really great benefits. But, you know, as anyone that's listening to this show can probably testify to, that gets really onerous and expensive, you know, having to go to some location that many times per week. It's a significant, you know, time commitment and financial commitment. And so my wife's sister, Melissa, wanted to do this sort of thing at home. And so that's what started the search kind of for a product that delivered a fair amount of power, but was ideally kind of a full body type of product, red light therapy product that you could ideally use in your own home. And so she, you know, after doing a fair amount of research, Melissa's a great researcher. And so she, you know, after doing a fair amount of research, kind of discovered that there really wasn't anything available. There's a lot of handheld products, you know, small little handheld products that can treat, you know, a small area of your face, something like that, but nothing really geared for your whole body. And so she kind of tasked her husband, Justin, who's an engineer, to build some type of prototype. And so, you know, while they were kind of playing around with different prototypes, you know, we were having some light conversations, just because red light therapy kind of falls kind of as a therapeutic, sort of falls in the arena of med tech. And, you know, I was pretty skeptical when they first brought up the idea of, you know, creating some sort of red light therapy product. I wasn't even a believer in the therapy at all, just because it sounds kind of woo-woo. But unbeknownst to me, you know, as I started, you know, peeling back the layers of the onion, so to speak, there, I was quickly blown away about how much published research there is with respect to light therapy and in the world of academia. It's referred to as photobiomodulation. And I was blown away. I mean, I come from, you know, the traditional med tech space. So clinical, published, peer-reviewed clinical data is pretty important when evaluating therapies. And it was pretty shocking how much research there is with respect to light therapy. So kind of a long-winded answer, but that's sort of the origin story of Juve. And so we were we, after a bunch of R&D efforts and, you know, trying to create different prototypes, we ended up launching our first product back in early 2016, launched several different sized models of that first sort of iteration course of 2016 and 2017. And then most recently rolled out a completely redesigned Juve in early August. It's an R&D project that we'd actually been working on for, you know, close to 2 years, really almost since the original launch of our first device. And so pretty proud to get to this point, and pretty happy with the way it's gone so far.
Yeah. I love some of the recent interviews you've done with some of the people that I love to follow, and that, like I said in the bio, that's kind of what sparked me to purchase my first Juve. So let's, for the audience, what exactly is photobiomodulation or light therapy? Like, what's the science? What is it? What can it potentially do? And what are the differences between other light therapies out there?
Sure. I don't want to get too long-winded. So feel free to follow, you know, ask some follow-up questions, but we'll start sort of high, and then certainly we can go a little bit deeper. But the way I always like to describe light therapy, sort of to someone who hasn't heard of it or isn't overly familiar with it, is it's sort of like, I mean, we're all familiar with how our bodies metabolize different macronutrients. So we understand that, or most people understand that, if you eat, you know, carbohydrates, typically there's some sort of like insulin response in your body. Same thing with, you know, fats and proteins. Our bodies respond differently to those macronutrients. You know, we kind of all sort of understand that at a high level. Well, light, or different wavelengths of light, it's sort of similar. So our bodies respond to different wavelengths of light during different parts of the day. And sort of in line with sort of the natural sunrise and sunset. And so each wavelength of light, whether it's a blue light, green light, red light, that's all in the visible spectrum, or you know, outside of the visible spectrum, our bodies just respond differently to each of those wavelengths of light. And so that's sort of light therapy at a very high level, just kind of understanding that our bodies just physiologically metabolize these different wavelengths of light in various ways. So that's kind of an explanation at a high level. But more specifically, when we talk about light therapy or photobiomodulation, most of the clinical research, percentage of the clinical research, shows that very specific wavelengths of light actually have a unique biological impact at the cellular level. And those wavelength, those unique wavelengths of light, or those specific wavelengths of light, are red light, so visible red light, and then invisible near infrared light. So not far, not like a far infrared sauna, but near infrared light. And so those wavelengths, actually red and then infrared light, have the unique ability to not only penetrate our tissue, our skin tissue, but they also help the mitochondria in our cells produce more ATP or more cellular energy. And so that's the core mechanism of action. We can kind of get later on in the discussion, get into actually how that works. But in essence, these very specific wavelengths of light help our cells, the mitochondria in our cells, produce more energy. And because of that core mechanism of action, you get a very, very wide range of benefits. It almost sounds kind of like a QVC late night, infomercial. But the benefits are really, really wide ranging because of that that core mechanism of action. So you see everything from skin health to muscle recovery to joint pain relief, reduction of inflammation, enhanced cognitive benefits, and so on and so forth. In fact, Dr. Sarah Ballantyne, known as the paleo mom, she just sent me a study actually just yesterday. Now granted, it's very early research, but showcases the fact that these wavelengths, red and infrared light, actually help promote healthy gut microbiome as well, which is another unique benefit of red and near infrared light therapy. So the benefits are very, very wide ranging, but it all kind of comes back to that core mechanism of action, and that these wavelengths of light help induce the mitochondria in our cells to produce more energy.
Yeah, and if for anybody who's following anything within the biohacking, paleo, keto realm, everything now is focused on the mitochondria. Everything. the whole ball of wax. So I guess that's got to be extremely exciting for you guys.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to sort of differentiate in the noise too, because you're right. There's a lot of therapies being promoted for mitochondrial stimulation or activation of mitochondrial health, et cetera. Great to see. But yeah, red and infrared light, that is the core mechanism of action. You get a lot of secondary effects too, like enhanced gene transcription, better cell signaling. The production of enhanced cytokine production, et cetera. Those are all secondary benefits, but it all kind of stems back to that core thing, which is, allowing our mitochondria to function the way they were supposed to.
My God, I have so many questions. Well, let me just start by a little bit of a story that you might hear, and you can comment or not comment. But my wife just recently brought my son to the dermatologist because he has a couple scars. He plays hard, and my wife has a couple scars too. And at that time, I just ordered the Juve just to the house. It was just like 3-4 weeks ago, and she brings it up to the dermatologist. And what do you think the dermatologist says? I can only imagine. Yeah, that's a waste of time. And my immediate thought was like, I wish I was there. Because this guy's totally a fool, because the research is unbelievable out there. And two, if he knew how to monetize, if he could figure out how to monetize it, which obviously he's behind the ball because people do monetize red light therapy, he would not be saying that it's a waste of time. So that was a very frustrating and angry moment for me, and felt pretty bad for this guy. And he's probably a really successful dermatologist as well.
Yeah, that's surprising, because of all the subspecialties of medicine, light therapy is probably more familiar to derms, at least here in the U.S. anyway. So that's a little bit surprising, but at the same time, not surprising. It's actually something that we struggle with a lot. When we get specific questions from customers about, does light therapy treat this or that, and we always have to play that card carefully. But one of our default responses, is as always, please consult with your trusted healthcare provider. But the sad reality is that most healthcare providers are completely unfamiliar with the science that supports red and near infrared light therapy. So it's kind of a catch-22 in the sense that we tell them to consult with the healthcare provider, knowing full well that they're probably not going to get the response they need.
Yeah, and then for those out there who are listening, I highly encourage you to go to the Jouve site. I believe it's www.jouvv.com, and they have incredible set of videos on all these specific different conditions and the link to the research articles. I mean, so there is a wealth of information out there, and the Jouve site itself is a really good place just to learn about the red light therapy, the Jouve itself, and what it can do to help you. I have some specific questions about the wavelengths. Now, I absolutely love sun. I thrive in the summertime. I shrivel up and struggle in the winter, being right outside of New York City. Obviously, the sun has every spectrum of light, right? Every wavelength, I would assume, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, being out in the sun, do you get some of the similar benefits that the Jouve provides to you?
You do. And that's actually, you know, if anyone listening to this wants to sort of, you know, take the next step without making any sort of financial commitment, you know, when it comes to light therapy, I'd say, you know, first step is just try to get more sun. That's something that we always recommend is just try to get into the sun more often. In fact, there's a data point that suggests that, you know, most Americans spend upwards of 93% of their time indoors, you know, in sort of the modern world that we live in, which is pretty shocking. It sounds almost like a distorted statistic, but the reality is, like, when you start to think about most people's daily routines from the time, you know, you get up in the morning, have breakfast, get ready for work, you know, do the morning commute in a car or train or subway or whatever, spend 8 or 9 hours in an office environment indoors under artificial light, come home. Especially in the wintertime, the sun's already set. I mean, it becomes very true, you know, that we're we just simply do not spend enough time in natural sunlight anymore, and our biological systems haven't. I mean, that's a relatively new change, and our biological systems just haven't evolved or haven't adapted to that type of environment. And so yeah, I mean, the sun is a great and free, you know, sort of hack that everyone should be getting more of.
Yeah, absolutely. Now the unit itself, it's not like a sauna. There's no heat that comes off this. This is just like a light or a light bulb, correct? Not a light bulb, but you know what I mean. It's just it shines on you, correct?
Yeah, correct. And just anecdotally, kind of back to the sun topic, real quick. You know, my youngest son. We've got four kids, but my youngest son, who's five, I guess, at the time that we're having this chat. We lived in Minneapolis, which doesn't get a lot of natural sun just because of the climate. You know, he actually struggled with some eczema issues on his face. But what's interesting is that, you know, since moving to California and getting more natural sunlight, and of course in conjunction with, you know, most of the time daily light therapy treatments, you know, that's completely healed. It's pretty dramatic when you look at sort of before and after pictures. So yeah, I mean, just I wanted to kind of briefly share that sun is a powerful and free tool, but yeah, specific to our devices, our devices deliver red and near infrared light therapy, and which is often confused, and we kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, but it's often confused with a far infrared sauna. Just because, you know, most people aren't, you know, they hear infrared and they think near and far infrared is the same thing. It has nothing to do with distance, you know, some type of distance you are from the product, whether it's in a sauna or a device like ours. It's the wavelength of light. So near infrared wavelengths of light kind of fall in, generally speaking, 750 to about 1,000 nanometers. That's near infrared light, and then mid and far infrared light extends from roughly about 1,000 nanometers all the way up to 20,000 nanometers. So it's a really really broad spectrum when you talk about infrared light. But mid and far infrared light, the reason sauna, you know, good quality saunas deliver far infrared light is because those wavelengths are very good at generating heat. You know, which is the whole goal of a sauna is to induce heat stress on your body, and you see the resulting benefits. You know, very similar to the benefits are very similar to like cardiovascular exercise. So sauna is a great therapy, just different mechanism of action than what we're talking about when it comes to photobiomodulation and light therapy. And that's probably one of the most common questions we get. And unfortunately, you know, there's some companies that don't do the best job at trying to help people understand the differences between the two. They're both great therapies, but you can't. you can't deliver effective light therapy or effective photobiomodulation and heat at the same time. You know, it's kind of like it's like weight, you know, trying to do a deadlift and run a marathon at the same time. You don't, they're right. they can be good forms of training both, but you have to do them sort of independently just because the core mechanism of action is different. And so, yeah, saunas are great. Far infrared saunas are ideal for generating the heat that you need to see the benefits. Whereas with light therapy, most of the overwhelming amount of research suggests that red and the near infrared, ideally kind of in that mid 600 nanometer range, and then the kind of the mid 800 nanometer range are the wavelengths that are clinically proven to have a biological impact.
Excellent. Now, just a one quick question. Is there any research showing that like SAD or seasonal affective disorder can be helped by the Juve or some product that's similar to Juve?
Yeah. I would argue that there's more evidence that suggests bright white light does help with seasonal affective disorder, more so than red and near infrared. There's just more data that shows that. But there are definitely a handful of published studies that do showcase the fact that red and near infrared light does improve SAD. And actually that's one of you know, if we were to create like a word map of all of the customer reviews for our devices, the idea of like mood enhancement or I just simply feel better, that would show up a lot in that word map. It's actually one of the benefits that most people notice. You know, they may buy a device or invest in a light therapy device for muscle recovery or, you know, testosterone production or what have you. But that is a very, very common, you know, additive benefit is sort of like the most people just feel better, you know, after a light therapy treatment, which can be hard to quantify. But it's a very real thing. And there's a handful of studies that do suggest, you know, strong sort of mental clarity benefits when it comes to these wavelengths of light.
Yeah, that would make sense for sure. Now, do you mind if I ask you some basic usage questions?
Yeah, definitely.
So, number one, like optimal treatment times.
So that's a great question. It largely depends on the power of the device. And so that's one of the things that, you know, whether you buy our product or invest in a different light therapy device, we're certainly not the only players in town. It's always important to look at the power delivered from the device. So we're not talking about watts that the product consumes. So unlike a, you know, say a 250 watt heat lamp, right, that consumes a lot of power, but doesn't deliver a lot of power in the form of irradiance. It's important to look at delivered power. And most researchers will use a metric called irradiance, usually in the form of milliwatts per square centimeter, to measure the effective, you know, output intensity or output power of a light therapy product. And so I say that because it's helpful. It's kind of like going to shop for a car. And you kind of need, you know, if you're interested in like something that goes fast, you obviously need to know the horsepower of the engine, right? And I'm certainly not a car guy, but that's an easy sort of easy way for me to understand the fact that light output or output intensity using the metric of irradiance is very important in terms of trying to figure out how long you need to use a product. And so we designed our devices at the surface of our products. The irradiance it kind of depends on exactly where you're measuring, but generally speaking, when you take an average at the surface of a device, it's over 100 milliwatts per square centimeter, which is a very high powered device. And so with our products, because of that power output, we generally speaking recommend about standing about 6 inches or so from the device or placing the device about 6 inches from the area of your body you want to treat. And then each treatment time should be around 10 minutes or so, roughly speaking. So 6 inches away from our products for about 10 minutes per treatment area. And that will result in about kind of depends on your individual size, but generally speaking, about 30 to 40 joules of energy, which is a very clinically relevant dose of energy. And so 6 inches at 10 minutes is kind of our general recommended treatment time. You can go a little bit longer than 10 minutes. I would probably say that anything past 20 minutes, you may not see a whole lot of additive benefits. You kind of hit a point of sort of a law of diminishing returns. Instead of going longer, I would probably suggest just doing multiple treatments per day. So splitting those out. So, you know, maybe one treatment in the morning, one treatment in the evening, or, you know, and if you really want to optimize your treatments, maybe one in the morning, one midday, and then one in the evening. But at a high level, it's about 6 inches from our device for about 10 minutes per treatment area.
Yeah, that answered my next question. How close do you need to be? Next question is, do you need to keep your eyes closed?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So our devices are class 2 FDA cleared. As part of that submission to FDA, there's numerous testing, including a lot of safety testing. And so our devices have passed photobiological safety testing, so completely fine to look at. That's why we actually don't include eyewear with our products. In fact, there's a fair amount of published research that showcases the fact that these wavelengths of light are beneficial for retinal function. And so we actually recommend, you know, keeping your eyes open during the light therapy treatment. Having said that, our devices are very, very bright because of that power intensity. So if you do have a hard time, looking at the device, you know, we recommend just kind of closing your eyes for the first, you know, several minutes of the treatment, and the rods and cones in your eyes will adjust to the brightness of the light over time. But we generally speaking, we recommend trying to keep your eyes open during the treatment because it is beneficial for your eyes.
It would make sense considering the eyes have like the highest concentration of mitochondria, I think, than in anywhere in your entire body, right?
Yep. And there's several glands that are attached to the retina, and so you get hormonal benefits, you know, when receiving these wavelengths of light through the retinas in your eyes. So yeah, and anecdotally, kind of going back to vision, you know, my wife has worn glasses, I think, since she was like 8 or 9 years old, and for the past 3 or 4 years after, you know, consistent light therapy treatments on a, you know, most of the time on a daily basis, her vision improves, you know, every year that she goes to do her kind of her annual checkup. So that's anecdotal. It's an N of one, but there is some evidence that suggests it's beneficial to receive, you know, these wavelengths of light through your eyes.
How does it affect sleep? Could you do this right before you go to sleep?
Yeah. So, it's interesting. So I at a high level, I'd say, you know, for most people, listen, you know, kind of try to listen to your body. The overwhelming majority of people actually see a lot of benefits when using these wavelengths of light in the evening, myself included. I wouldn't say like, you know, my wife, for example, is much more sort of in tune with her body. I'm not nearly as much. I'm not nearly the case, or that's not the case with me. But that's one of the major benefits that I personally notice is that when we fire that on in our bedroom at night, it does definitely induce sort of there's a very calming effect, and it does induce better sleep. And once again, there's evidence that suggests it does enhance the sleep quality. In fact, there's one study that I'm thinking of off the top of my head that the subjects were, I think, professional women's basketball players, and I believe it was a participant size of like 15 to 20, so not huge, but enough to showcase, some sort of statistical difference. And across the board, using red and near infrared light therapy on these women, these professional women basketball players did enhance better sleep quality. And so that's just one study. There's others as well. In fact, there's some evidence that suggests these wavelengths of light actually help produce more melatonin too, which we all know is needed to help with better sleep. And so, yeah, these wavelengths are great to use before bed. In fact, if you really want to optimize your light therapy treatments, we would suggest either especially during part times of the year when it's harder to see the natural sunrise and sunset. We actually suggest doing these light therapy treatments in the morning and then in the evening to mimic sort of the natural sunrise and sunset.
Yeah, I intend to do that. Like I've mentioned a couple of times, I've purchased my first Juve, but I think my shipment got delayed 1 week, so I thought I would have it today for our interview, but I'm getting it Monday, which I'm very ex and I'll be able to track my sleep because I have an Oura ring and I know what I sleep and what my deep sleep and what my REM is. So I'll be able to track that pretty closely, which should be really interesting.
Oh yeah, no doubt. That's awesome.
My next question is the new ones are modular, correct? So you can buy the smallest one and kind of buy another one. It'll kind of hook into it, and you can kind of build. You could start small and kind of build out, correct?
Yeah, that's probably there's other differences as well with our new devices, but that's probably the big change. And so historically with our previous versions, which were great products, they just there was three core sizes, basically small, medium, and large, for practical purposes. But with our new devices, you're right, that the biggest change is the fact that they're now modular. And so just kind of similar to Lego blocks, you can build out a full body system over time. And so you can start with, we have two core sizes now. We call them the Mini and the Solo. Either one you buy, you can actually build on to either one. So they're completely modular. And so you can definitely build out a they all connect together, and so you can build out a system over time, a full body system over time, which is pretty cool.
Do they only connect on the bottom or on the sides as well?
They connect. They physically connect on the bottom, so they stack on top of each other.
Okay.
But in terms of connecting and controlling, say you were to, build out a 4-unit system over time, there's two ways to connect the power. So you can use the optional Bluetooth that's built into each device and control the entire system from one device or our app. Or if you're not a Bluetooth fan and wanna, don't care for that sort of technology. You can act, we include a hardwire pairing kit with every system too, so you can actually pair them together via hardwires, and that way, the devices don't emit any Bluetooth at all. And so there's a couple different ways. So either way you do it, you can still control the whole system from one device.
That's just brilliant. And I think my final question on just usage is, if you have, let's say you get the Mini Juve and you're using it basically on your face and your upper torso, let's say, do the cells in your feet get any benefit, or is it really targeted for the area that you have it on?
Yeah, it's primarily targeted. So whatever area of the body you're trying, we recommend that area, be, roughly about 6 inches away from the device. Now, having said that, and more so even with like our Solo or our full body systems, you do get systemic benefits by exposing more of a broader surface area of your body to the device, just because of the microcirculatory system that's in our skin. You do irradiate, you are irradiating blood over a surface area, and so you do get some systemic benefits from the broader you go in terms of treatment size. But generally speaking, though, you're going to see more efficacy when the area of your body you're trying to treat is directly in front of the device.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. Is there anything that you think that you should that you need to talk about that we didn't touch on that is crucial that I just overlooked or didn't talk about?
We covered a lot of the main concepts, and for anyone listening, I would say, if you're interested in light therapy and you've heard people talking about it, want to give it a try, but you're up against the budget ramifications or budget issues. Just try to get more sun, like we kind of chatted about before. I mean, that's totally free, and it's something that even being deep into the aim of light therapy, so to speak, is something that I have to personally be more intentional about. It's just so easy to get, sucked into work behind a computer, and then the entire day goes by and I haven't spent any time outside. You know what I mean? So I would say, definitely be more intentional about that. But then, if you want to go even further, or if you live in an area, or if it's just hard to get, sun on that consistent of a basis, and want to invest in a light therapy product, we covered kind of the most of the key topics. Look for something that delivers the right wavelengths of light, so ideally red and then near infrared light, in the range of kind of the mid 600 nanometer range and then the mid 800 nanometer range. There's other wavelengths that fall in that near infrared spectrum they just aren't clinically proven to do anything at a biological level. So look for those specific wavelengths of light. Make sure you understand the power delivered from the device. You can get benefits from a low-powered device. It's just going to take you a lot longer. And so if something's, 20% of the power, it's going to take you, that much longer to receive a clinically relevant dose of energy. So just kind of keep that in mind when it comes to light therapy. So wavelengths and output intensity, those are probably the two biggest when it comes to choosing a device. And of course, there are other things to consider, like warranty and how the product was manufactured and all that stuff. But that's getting into the weeds. But those two things, just make sure you try to understand those two things: wavelengths. Specific wavelengths, and then the output intensity, and you should be good to go in terms of trying to find the device that's best for you.
Yeah. One other quick question, and I don't know how well you can answer this question because you guys are relatively new as a company. How long does a Juve last for? A couple of years? Like how do the lights? Like, do you have to replace them? Like what is the length of a Juve for the light?
Yep. Yeah. So our LEDs, our LED chipsets. Are designed to last over 50,000. They're rated to last over 50,000 hours. So, I mean, if you do daily Juve treatments for roughly about 10 minutes, it's going to last you over 30 years. A very, very long time. We do offer, with our devices, we do offer a 2-year product warranty as well. So if anything, happens within those first 2 years, we'll definitely repair the device. And then beyond that, of course, all devices are should be fixable as long as there's not too much damage. But the LEDs aren't really the issue. In terms of longevity of the device, it's usually like something small, like a power switch that fails that'll fail faster than an LED. But our LEDs in and of themselves are the chipsets are rated to last over 30 years under normal usage.
Wow, that sounds that's awesome. All right, so final question I ask every one of our guests: from waking to sleep, what is your daily rhythm?
In terms of what does my daily routine kind of look like?
Yeah, like what do you do? Like people have our audience has really appreciated learning. What really successful people do. Daily, like what is their routine in the morning, midday, and it could be in depth or as small as you want to explain, but I love asking that question.
Yeah. So my personally, what my typical daily routine is I'll wake up usually around 5:30 or 6. At that point, I try to either go on a longer walk or a get sort of some light cardiovascular activity in, and that way I'm typically seeing, at least here in Southern California, I'm typically seeing the sunrise, which is great to get sort of the benefits that come with the morning sunrise. Then that will after that I always kind of experiment with different types of sort of like intermittent fasting, and so sometimes I'll wait to eat until noon or 1 o'clock, something like that, and then eat between try to consume most of my calories between about 1 and 6. Right now though, I'm not kind of following that. I'll usually eat a larger breakfast around 7:30 or so, and that sort of kicks off my workday. I'll go hard until probably about noon or so. Then break and try to actually get some midday sun. And then come back and kind of finish, try to finish off the work activity. And I usually, our kids, our kids do an online, charter school. And so I actually try to allocate, an hour or two every afternoon to kind of, answer any questions, that they have, from the stuff that they've been working on during the day. And so that takes us to, close to, 5-ish o'clock or so, which, then we usually eat fairly basic, meat and some sort of vegetable. And then we kind of get into the evening hours. We're pretty busy with Juve and this recent product launch. At that point, I'll try to catch up on any work related activities. And then I usually try to get my wife and I try to get in bed by, 9:30 and try to be asleep by 10, which that, if I get up around 5:30 or 6, that's usually about a 7 or 8 hour. If I slept well, about a 7 or 8 hour night, which is sort of what my average daily routine kind of looks like.
Well, Sounds great. Where do you fit the juve in, morning and afternoon?
Yeah, I usually do it in the morning, just because sometimes the day will slip away, and it's usually, if I want to get at least one treatment in, I'll try to get it in the morning. If not the morning, then I'll do it in the evening, just because I do notice. And if I've say for example I've already done a treatment in the morning, and I don't necessarily need to do another one in the evening, well, my wife and I will often just flip on a smaller device in our room and use that for lighting at night, just because we don't necessarily want to use too much artificial lighting at night, because of the disruption in your circadian rhythm. And so we'll often fire it on, just use a smaller device for illumination in our room, and that does definitely induce as a calming and relaxing. It does induce like a calming and relaxing state. So I'd encourage anyone that has a smaller device, if it's ours, try that at night. And you may see some nice benefits from that.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time. All the links to Juve and the website and products and stuff will be in the show notes and our emails and all that kind of stuff. But thank you, Scott, for your time. I really appreciate it. I really cannot wait to get my device. But my name is Dr. Noah DeCoyer, your co-host, and you are listening to the Beyond Your Wildest Genes podcast. If you like what you've heard today, please share this to your friends and family. We can also be found on Spotify and YouTube as well. You can sign up for our incredible weekly email at www.beyondyourwildestgenes.com. Thank you, and as my oldest son Hayden says, be awesome and never unawesome.
Four, get my shoes and out the door. Five, I'm alive. Six, seven, eight, feeling great.